Book of Ruth, chapter 1. We begin a new series this morning. Give Me Your Best is the series title. The title of the message this morning. Don't You Quit. Let us stand. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 says, Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he, his wife, and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah. The name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived, her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went away to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each of you to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant that you may find rest each in his house or each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, Surely we'll return with you to your people. But Naomi said, Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say that I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters. For it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her, and she said, Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. And when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, open your word to us in a mighty way. Give us understanding and insight into what you've prepared for us today. Glorify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We begin today in the story of Ruth with the disaster that befell a good family. This family lived in the city of Bethlehem. Elimelech, his wife Naomi, Mahlon, and Chilion. Their two sons. And it says that there was a famine in Bethlehem and it was such that they had to go elsewhere to find food and to provide for their family. So they left Bethlehem and they go to the land of Moab. And soon after they arrive, or sometime after they arrive at the land of Moab, Elimelech, the father, dies. Oh, how sad it must have been for Naomi to lose her husband in a foreign land, but she still has two sons. Her two sons married two women from the land of Moab, Orpah and Ruth. And they were doing fine until after about 10 years, her boys died. And both of them, I don't know if they died right there together in the same incident. We don't have the details. But we know that after 10 years, she lost her sons. And so that meant she, all visible means of support for this lady, Naomi, was gone. She no longer had a husband. She no longer had sons. She no longer had a home. She was even in a foreign country and had no way to support herself. All she had was two daughter-in-laws that would have depended upon her to provide for them. And so she hears that there's been bread back in her hometown of Bethlehem. And she decides, I'm going back home. And she tells her daughters-in-law somewhere along the way that she wanted them to go back to their homes and their people of Moab. And she thanked them for the way that they had dealt with her family. She said, the Lord deal kindly, in verse 8, the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead. That word kindly is an interesting word in the Hebrew. It's not the kind that we think of. It means a loyal love. And she says, basically, thank you so much for your loyalty to my sons and to this family. But I release you now. You've done your part. Go back home. Find you a husband in your home and build you a family there. Because with me, there is no hope. And it's at this point that most people would have done what? Turned around and went home. I've done my part. I tried. I've done all I can do. Even Naomi has excused me, so I no longer have a responsibility there. Nobody's going to blame me if I leave. But you've got to ask yourself the question, is this the road that God would have me to take? You see, as I look out in this congregation today, I see people who are at a crossroads. Some people are going through a time of crisis and you've been attacked. And you're at that point, I've got to decide which direction from here I'm going to go. Some of you are facing crisis in family. Marriages, friendships, churches, jobs, careers. Some of you are at that crossroads, and if you're not at that crossroads right now, hang on, one will come up. And you're going to have to decide, which direction am I going from here? It brings you to the decision. The decision that you're going to have to make. You see, Ruth and Orpah told Naomi when she first suggested, y'all go back home. They said, oh no, we're going to stay with you. We're going to let us remain with you and we'll take care of you. But Naomi was very insistent. She says, no, you return to your home. I'm too old to provide for you anymore. I can't give you any more sons. If you stay with me, there is absolutely no hope for you. There is nothing for you to gain by you staying here with me. But here's the question that they have to answer. What about Naomi? If they leave, what's going to happen to this lady, Naomi? And I love the way that it progresses here. Because after Naomi says, you know, y'all go. Finally, Orpah, she says, okay, I'm going back home. And she leaves. But it says that Ruth clung to Naomi. That word clung or cling, it meant to grip firmly with the idea of remaining loyal Now, I want you to get that in your mind. She has every reason to leave. She has the excuse to leave. She's even been dismissed. But when she's told, go back home, no, she grabs hold of Naomi and white knuckles this lady. Says, I will not leave you. Oh, I can hear it now. You can see Ruth. As Naomi says, go, goodbye, Ruth, go back home. And Ruth says, no, I will not leave you. But Ruth, there's nothing for you here. No, I will not leave you. There's nothing for you to gain, Ruth. No, I will not leave you. I am not going anywhere. I love that. And I guess one of the reasons that I love that is because it's seldom seen in today's society. You see, most of our decisions when we come to that crossroads and we look around and we see one direction that would be, oh, so much easier. And you know what we say? I deserve to be happy. So we turn. We say that I have done my part. So we turn. We say, that is not expected of me, so we go a different direction. You know what that word leave means? When Ruth said, I will not leave you, it means to abandon. So what Ruth is saying is, Naomi, it does not matter what you say. It does not matter the circumstances that I'm facing or that we are facing. I will not abandon you. You know what I've discovered about me and my life? When I come to that crossroads, I have to really watch myself. Because I will choose the route or the course of action that I think is best for me without a consideration for other people. I will be selfish. I will have that attitude of, I deserve to be happy. Where do we get that? Have you ever heard anybody say, well, I deserve to be happy? Where do you read that? It's not in the Word of God. Where do we get the phrases, I deserve better, I deserve a good life, what's in it for? Where do we get that? As a matter of fact, it's absolutely the opposite of what is taught in the Word of God. In the Word of God, it's all about who? It's all about Jesus. Amen. And it's what brings glory to Him and what's best for Him. You see, we've got to ask ourselves the questions. How will everybody else be affected by my decision? See, it's too easy to quit. It's too easy to come to that point. Well, no, I'm not doing this anymore. In marriages. You know why? Well, it's one out of three or even more marriages fail. Because we back up and we say, that's enough. I deserve to be happy. No, what you're doing is you're being selfish. And people will say, well, it doesn't hurt anybody else. Yes, it does. My son is 35 years old. Isn't that right? No? Close. 33? My son is 33 years old. And if I walked out on his mom, it would ruin his world. Amen. I'm still his dad. I'm still her husband. Friendships. Are you faithful in friendship? I'm talking about when a friend makes you angry and you disagree with that friend and you know, everything that friend is, that they disappoint you. Do you say, okay, I'm going to love you in spite of what you've done? Or are you going to wash your hands of that friend? I don't need you anymore. Quit. Church. How many people today, you know, that are outside these walls, maybe even in these walls today, at one time you were faithful, you were serving, and you were dedicated. And then the crisis or the disaster happened, and now you're not faithful anymore, you're not dedicated anymore, and you're certainly not serving anymore. Why? Because you quit. Because it was easier to quit than to push through it in the hard time. What's my challenge to you today? You know what's wrong in our country? Our country as a whole, we're a bunch of quitters. Amen. When it gets tough, we just quit. And there is no place in the service of our God for quitters. Okay? So when you back up and you think of, I'm at this crossroads, I want you to remember this. There are no shortcuts in God's plan. Okay? There are no bypasses, no easy ways. No, as a matter of fact, usually God's plan is pretty rough and hard to deal with sometimes. Oh, don't you be a quitter. Don't you be a quitter. You see? And I love that video. The video at the beginning, it just fires me up every time because I can see me, and every now and then I can see somebody needs to yell at me and say, "Don't you quit, Doug. Give me your best, Doug." You see, isn't that what God expects? Don't you quit. Don't back off. But Lord, you don't understand. They're not listening to me. But don't you quit. Lord, you don't understand. It's hard to prepare messages Sunday and Wednesday and Sunday and Wednesday. But don't you quit, Doug. Keep pushing. But Lord, I don't know how long I can do this. Well, you do it as long as you can. You just keep on. Don't you quit, Doug. I quit one time. I did. Pastor Corinth, Mississippi. And I quit. Because I got disappointed. And I got discouraged as a preacher. And I quit. And I left Corinth, Mississippi. And went into a 7-year tribulation period. And I want to tell you. You talk about going into the fire. During that period, you see, I can't quit preaching. I can't quit preaching. I can't. God won't allow it. And so when I was there, and I'm not casting stones at that church. It was not that church. It was Doug Hambrick. You know? That everywhere I turned, there was problems. And you know what I learned from that 7 years? I learned not to quit. You know what? I'm not quitting again. It may be hard. I may not like it. I may cry. I may moan and complain. And I may shout out, "Oh, I can't handle this." But I'm not quitting. I'm not quitting anymore. And I'm not preaching this because somebody's trying to make me quit. No, I'm not. Right? I'm preaching this because we all need this message. God didn't save us. He didn't train us to be quitters. To fall by the wayside. To give up on our kids and on our marriage. Look at the devotion that Ruth had. Ruth made up her mind. Like I said, I love the way she said, Naomi, I go with you. I'm going where you go. I will lodge where you lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. Where you're buried, I will be buried. But I'm not quitting. And then verse 18 says, when Naomi saw that she was determined, she finally stopped speaking to her. And it's not giving her the silent treatment Naomi just gave us. I'm not going to do any good. This woman's made up her mind. You know? There's nothing greater than a woman that's made up her mind, is there? But that word determined in verse 18, it literally means to be fully devoted to a course of action. You see, it's at this point. It's at this point. I want you to back up. I want all of us to back up and determine where we are. Where am I in my walk with Jesus? Am I getting better? If I'm not getting better, it's probably because I've quit. I've slacked off. You know? Am I drawing nearer to God? If I'm not, it's probably because somewhere in my walk with God, I've let it slip and let it slide. You see, Ruth was, she was sold out. And she wasn't backing up. Listen, my friends. You know, that video was just a video. It's a made-up movie about a football game. Stakes aren't very high in a football game, but I'm going to tell you where the stakes are high. The stakes are high in ministry and walk with the Lord. Because if you quit, somebody's going to suffer. Maybe your family. Maybe your wife. Maybe your husband. Oh, Brother Doug, you don't understand. It's so hard. Don't quit. Brother Doug, I just don't know how much farther I can go. Don't quit. Brother Doug, it hurts. Don't you quit. I don't know how long I can do this. Don't you quit. He's unbearable. Don't you quit. Why? Because God deserves your very best. Right? God deserves your very best. Isn't that all God wants? Now, let's back up and let's be honest today. Is He getting your very best? Malachi chapter 1 verse 13. God speaking to Israel because Israel was giving them, or was giving to God half-hearted sacrifices. And verse 1, chapter 1 verse 13 says, you also say, oh, what a weariness. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept from your hand? Should I accept this from your hand? Says the Lord. Now I ask you, as you come to worship today, did you bring your best? When we were singing and Brother Dale was leading in worship, did you sing and offer your best? If not, why should God accept less than your best? You've quit. Do you realize this is just the beginning of this story? But this story, had it ended, if Ruth had gone back home, the story just ended. But because Ruth didn't go back home, and I'm not going to tell you the end of the story, all right? But ultimately, Ruth is blessed with a family because of her faithfulness. And at the end of this book of Ruth, she's going to have a son. Yes, she's going to get married again. She's going to get a new family. And she's going to have a son. And you know what that son's name's going to be? Obed. Yes, Brother Doug. Well, Obed also had a son. You know what Obed's son's name was? Jesse. Yeah, Brother Doug? You get it yet? Jesse also had a son. You know what his name was? David. A man after God's own heart. Because she refused to quit. My friends, wherever you are, here's the challenge. God deserves your best. God demands your best. Okay? Don't you quit. Child of God, saved person, you may look at me, you say, Brother Doug, you don't understand. I want to tell you something, what I do understand. I understand. I've been pastoring churches for about 26 years. I've seen some ups and I've seen some lows. But I can't afford to quit. And you cannot either. Because God depends upon you and other people depend upon you. And before you quit, you better look around and see what it's going to do to everybody else. Okay? Otherwise, it's selfish. You may be here today, and I want to tell you, I want to close with this. There was one that you don't know. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. There was one that didn't quit on you. And that was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You see, He came to this earth because you're a sinner. Because all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. And it doesn't matter who we're talking about in this congregation. We've all sinned. But Jesus came to this earth. And He went to the cross of Calvary to take your punishment because you're a sinner. And I can just see Jesus standing before Pilate. Silent. I could see Him standing there, them making accusations. Jesus not responding. I could see Him in my mind, you know, taking the whipping. I could see Him being nailed to that cross. I could see Him being spat upon. You know what? I can see Him saying, "It is finished." He didn't quit. He saw it through. And because He paid your full sin debt upon the cross of Calvary, today the invitation goes out that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you a child of God? Okay? If not, we're going to invite you to come during this invitation. If you are a child of God and you're thinking of quitting, back up. Back up. Finish what you start. Okay? Finish what you start. I've known parents that would, you know, tell their kids, "Oh, you can't quit. We're not quitters. We finish what we start." They'd start football or basketball or baseball. Saying, "Well, I want to quit." "No, you're not going to quit that." Mom and Dad, how about you? What have you quit? Don't preach to your kids about don't be quitters when you've been a quitter. My challenge to you is God's call. Give me your best. Is that what you're giving? Heavenly Father, thank You for the day. Thank You for the opportunity to look in Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for that You gave Your best on our behalf upon the cross of Calvary. And Father, sometimes we do. We get lukewarm. And we get lackadaisical. We just kind of stand aside and with a whatever attitude. And when it gets hard, we quit and we feel sorry for ourselves. Lord, help us to toughen up. Help us to refuse to quit. Help us to refuse to give in, Lord. Revive our hearts. Set a zeal within us that even Satan himself cannot quench. Oh, Father, I pray Your will be done in this invitation. Give us the courage to step out and make the moves that You've called us to make. Lord, give us all strength that we be not quitters. In Jesus' name I pray.